Right? So in all areas of life, to get better at something, we normally need to take lessons. Can anyone think of any lessons that you might have to take through life that would help you get better at anything? You're allowed to, Brian?
About driving.
Driving, that's a good one. Yes, definitely. I know my children don't know how to drive, and when you get to a certain age, like I know, I think Esther's probably doing that, maybe, and Rachel's got a license recently. But yes, and for young ones, definitely driving, and you never can get enough driving to help you get better. That's right, driving lessons. Any other lessons in life that we might need to take to get better at something, to be better skilled at something? Yes, Heather?
Reading.
Definitely, yeah, reading's very important, and you need lessons, you need to practice at reading to make it better and easier for you to read, to better grasp that. Yes, understanding the Bible, yeah. We need to be taught, don't we? Instructed, which is another way of saying we go through lessons, Bible lessons, Bible studies and things like that. And being here in church is one of those ways to do that, definitely. There's piano lessons if you're a musician, or flute, or guitar, or any musical instrument. There's musical instrument lessons that you can take to get better at it. And you need to take it. Sorry?
Dancing,
yes. If you happen to be into dancing, dancing lessons as well. Yeah, computers.
Swimming's
a good one. I need to do some swimming lessons, but that is true. All of us normally throughout our lives have swimming lessons, don't we, to get better so we don't drown. So there are lessons throughout life, aren't there? And I think we'd all say that we do not stop learning and we don't stop having lessons to get better at things throughout our lives. There's always something that we can learn to improve a skill that we might have. And I think also we can definitely look at the Word of God and see that God's Word has, for a Christian, spiritual lessons that are needed for us to grow in faith. And throughout the Bible, one of the major themes in the Bible is that it is encouraged and exhorted and preached in the Word of God to trust God rather than trust man. And that's from the front book, the Genesis, right through to Revelation, is there the presentation from God to reveal to us that we need to trust him more than to trust man. And there are faith lessons throughout the scriptures, and one of those faith lessons is in Matthew chapter 14 here today. So we're going to look at that, and we won't read the whole passage again to save a bit of time, but we will look at this passage in its entirety today. But the context of this passage is the feeding of the 5,000. And it's very important that we realise that Jesus takes his disciples through this faith lesson straight after the miracle that he just did with the feeding of the 5,000. More than 5,000 people, of course, there was 5,000 men there. If you look at verse 21 in our passage, we see that there just on the before we go into what we will look at today. In verse 21 it reads, "And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children." So this chronology is very important in the flow of events here and what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. In verse 22, we begin reading by saying, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples." So the word "straightway" here means immediately. And it's actually translated as the word "immediately" in verse 31 in our passage. So straight away or immediately, Jesus acts now after the feeding of the 5,000, and what we're going to see is he's going to teach his disciples a lesson on faith. So in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus not only did a miracle in front of 5,000 plus people, of course he did a miracle in front of his disciples. And his disciples were all there and they witnessed what happened and were an integral part of that miracle that just occurred. So we need to ask the questions, and I think this is what Jesus was doing in the passage we look at today. He's asking his disciples, did the disciples take in what Jesus had just done in feeding the 5,000? Did the disciples learn to live by faith in the all-powerful and the all-sufficient Saviour? Which is exactly what he was teaching in feeding 5,000 people. With a small amount that man can produce or give or provide, God can use that and multiply it because he's God and provide that food for 5,000 plus. So did the disciples learn the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach in this miracle of the 5,000? So we know that because this was really had its attention on the disciples, it is in fact a lesson for the disciples here in this passage. But it's not only a lesson for them, it's also for today a lesson for us, for God's children, that we would learn also a faith lesson today. So we're going to look at three different parts of this passage of Scripture today, and we're going to see a little bit about faith lessons and what they mean in our lives and why we have faith lessons in our lives. And first of all, let's look at, starting at verse 22, that faith lessons are necessary. First of all, we see that faith lessons are necessary. There is a need in our lives, as well as the disciples at this particular time in their time with Jesus, that the Lord Jesus Christ take them through this faith lesson. So let's read verses 22 to 24 again. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So faith lessons are necessary, we first of all see here. So after feeding the 5,000, it was necessary for the disciples to go into a ship. The word straightway here means at once. And as I said before, it was translated as the word immediately in verse 31. Why did Jesus have to move the disciples so quickly, with haste, into a ship? What was the reason for that? Well, there's two reasons that we can note in our passage today for that. The first reason was because the crowd that just witnessed the 5,000, that were just fed through the miracle of the 5,000, wanted to make Jesus king. Let's go to John chapter 6 and we'll see this. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in all of the Gospels, the four Gospels. And just after, of course, is this event of the disciples going across the sea and then going through the storm. And that is recorded in a number of these other Gospels as well. So we'll go to John chapter 6, which gives us a little bit more light to give us an understanding of the reason why Jesus would have constrained his disciples to go into the ship straight away after his feeding of 5,000. Verse 14, John chapter 6, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle of the 5,000 that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus, therefore, perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So we see here, this is the first reason why Jesus constrained. He essentially made his disciples leave the area to go into a ship because the people wanted to make him king. And that sounded like a good thing because Jesus is king. But their motive was wrong. And we can read elsewhere in the scripture, but we don't have time today. But their motive was wrong because they wanted to make him king because they filled his belly. But they satisfied their physical hunger and their physical desires rather than they recognize him as being the Son of God. So Jesus knew this in their heart. And Jesus also knew that it was not his time yet. It wasn't his time. His time hadn't come to be king. He had much more to do in his ministry on earth, and of course he had to go to the cross as well. So it wasn't his time. That's the first reason why Jesus hurried his disciples away from this scene, so they wouldn't be mixed up in all of this commotion. The second reason was because it was necessary for the disciples to have a faith lesson. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 14 when we'll see this here. That they needed to have this faith lesson. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, we see this word constrained here. This is a very important word because this tells us, and the word actually means necessitate, to necessitate. And that's where we get this understanding here that faith lessons are necessary. But there was a need here, and this word is translated elsewhere in the New Testament in a number of places. In the book of Jude, in verse number 3, there Jude writes and says that he was originally going to write to the people that he was writing to about salvation and how, you know, you're saved in Christ alone. But he had a need, and this is what it says in verse 3, it was needful for me to write unto you that you'd earnestly contend for the faith. And this is what this word is translated as, needful. It was needful for Jude to write those things as he was led by the Holy Spirit. This word's also translated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is that chapter in the Bible about the body of Christ, that the church is made up of different parts and they all work together to glorify God and to function properly. Just like our human bodies have got all different parts and they function all together to be able to get around. And in verses number 21 and 22 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this word is translated the feeble, or those parts that seem to be not as important, are necessary. Opens up the meaning of this word is when the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 mentions to those Philippi believers that it was needful for him to stay with them and teach them and help them grow than it was for him to go and be with the Lord. He said there that it was more needful for you that I hang around and stay around. So this, we could see here that Jesus sees the need, that it is necessary that the disciples go onto this ship and to go eventually, as we see what transpires, into this lesson on faith. So the disciples, we can obviously say then from what we see in these verses, in verse 22, that the disciples were in the will of God. There's no doubt about that they were in the will of God, because Jesus instructed them and they obeyed and they went into a ship to go into the sea. So in verse 24 though, what happens in verse 24? This is a bit of a conundrum perhaps to us, to think that they've been sent into a ship, and then look at what happens in verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst, or the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the wind there was very strong and blowing all over the place, so it was very rough. It was stormy in this boat or this ship out in the middle now of the waters. And we need to ask the question, did Jesus know about this storm before he sent them into the ship? Did he know that this storm would come? Well, I think we'd say, and be able to answer there, yes, certainly we do know that this storm was coming and that the disciples were heading straight into it. And Jesus knows everything, and Jesus orders things in the disciples' lives as well as our lives, because he knows what's coming, and he is all wise and he's loving, and he knows what is coming up in our lives. So the disciples were in the storm because they obeyed Christ. And one commentator has said that the disciples were safer in the storm on the sea, in God's will, than on the land with the crowds out of God's will. And that's so true in our lives as well. As we obey God and as we follow his will for our lives, it might be a storm, but it's a safer place to be than to be out of God's will and not following him. So Jesus brought them there to perfect their faith. It was necessary that they go through this storm on the waters to perfect their faith. So that was necessary for the disciples. But in our lives today too, faith lessons are necessary. Today we can know God's leading. God still leads us today, as he did the disciples. And we can obey him in that leading. We can follow what he wants us to do. We are in the centre of God's will. But sometimes everything is a bit stormy. We seem to struggle through life. We perhaps even seem to not get very far. Well, that's what we think is going on in our lives. We don't seem to progress in our spiritual lives. Has Jesus forsaken us? Has Jesus left us? Has Jesus made a mistake? No, it would not be true to say that Jesus forgot about his disciples as he sent them off onto the sea here, and just say, oh, I've got to deal with this, I'm just going to let you go and, you know, you can fend for yourselves. I don't think so, as we read in a minute, that this is what Jesus did at all. He did not forget about his disciples, and he did know about their current situation on the sea. Even though he wasn't there, he did know. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. This is the blessing of searching the scripture. as we see in Mark now, we've been to John, we go to Mark now, we're in Matthew, and we see how all of these different passages add a little bit more light. In Mark chapter 6, the same account of this same event that happened, we read these verses here, which are very important, and show us that Jesus had a purpose. He didn't forget about his disciples. It was necessary for them to go into the sea through this storm. And in verse 45 to 48, let's read those verses. It says here in Mark chapter 6, verse 45, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come," so that's where, when the sun went down and it was in the evening, "the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land." Verse 48, notice this. "And he saw them toiling in rowing." And he saw them toiling in rowing, "for the wind was contrary unto them." Do you know, even though Jesus was on the land and they were in the middle of the sea, look what this verse says. He saw them. He was there and he saw them. He could have his eye on them. He knew what they were going through. He could see. And it's the same with us today. Jesus sees your circumstances. He sees my circumstances, what we go through. And he sees your need. He knows our fears. He knows the struggles we go through. But he's in control, just as he was in control with the disciples here on the sea. He knew where they were. And he designs the trials in life, and he designs the faith lessons in life for us to learn, for us to mature, and for us to trust him more. And that's exactly the same as what he did with the disciples. He knew, and he was using this as a faith lesson. Faith lessons are necessary in our lives. Faith lessons were necessary in the disciples' lives, and sometimes I've heard, and maybe I've said this in my grumbling times too, if I've ever grumbled about this particular subject, as we do sometimes, we can sometimes say that I don't really want to learn something from the Lord at this time in my life. Now, can't I have it a bit easier? But can I reassure you that until the day we go to be with the Lord, faith lessons will be necessary. We will always need faith lessons in our lives. But we need to recognise that it comes from a loving Heavenly Father. It comes from a Saviour, Jesus, who sees, who never goes asleep. 24/7, he knows what's going on in our lives. And he always allows it so that they have his glory in mind and our best interests, even though it might be painful at the time. So that's the first thing we see in this passage. Let's go back to Matthew 14, that faith lessons are necessary. It was necessary for the disciples to go and to be in this storm. And now let's see, secondly, that we see that faith lessons are tailor-made. Faith lessons are tailor-made. Not only are they necessary for the disciples, but here we see they're tailor-made. Jesus knows exactly what the disciples need. And in our lives, Jesus knows exactly what we need. They're tailor-made. Let's read verses 25 to 29. "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Faith lessons are tailor-made. And what a blessing to know that they are. The disciples, things just don't happen by chance. And that's one thing that we can say here from this passage, as well as hundreds of others in the scriptures. Things just don't happen by chance. They happen for a purpose and a reason. God never makes a mistake. The disciples had just seen the miracle of the feeding of 5,000, and now they were in the middle of the storm. This is not the first time that the disciples were in a storm. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. So we're in Matthew 14, but previous to this occasion in Matthew chapter 14, the disciples had already been through a similar situation as they had crossed the sea in Matthew chapter 8. And as we read this passage, you'll come to mind, you'll probably be familiar with this particular story as well, where Jesus and his disciples went across the waters. So they're tailor-made, these faith lessons. And this is not the first time they've been through something fairly similar. In verse number 23 of Matthew 8, let's read. "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marvelled, saying, What manner of man is this? But even the winds and the sea obey him." So this isn't the same account that we read in Matthew 14. It's a separate and different account that had been previously with the disciples and with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't know if you've spotted it as we were reading it there, but there's one major difference in this account in Matthew chapter 8 than the one in Matthew 14. Does anyone know what that major difference is? Thank you, Pat. That's exactly right. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus is on land. The disciples are in the boat by themselves on the sea. So we can say here that this faith lesson that Jesus was taking the disciples through had many similarities to the first one, but there were differences as well. And we can note by this that, number one, I think the disciples had shown some growth and some spiritual maturity. They had learnt some things and they had grown in faith. As we can see that Christ now has them ready to experience something without his physical presence, without him being there. And often, faith lessons are repeated. Faith lessons are repeated. And I don't know if you can think right now about your own life, but I can think in my life where different circumstances occur at different times. Similar circumstances occur at different times in our lives. They have similarities. And there's no by accident that that happens. It's because they're tailor-made for each one of us, just as they were for the disciples. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants to use a similar situation to see where we're at spiritually, to test us, to see if we will trust him. And that's why, and if we go, sometimes we get frustrated and say, oh, why is this happening again in my life? Well, you know, often it's our own, it can be our own foolishness why something happens. But oftentimes it's because the Lord has arranged it so that we would learn. And if he's patient with us and he's gracious and loving, and he allows us to go through something again, so we would say, ah, maybe the light comes on a bit earlier in our minds and we realise, oh, I need to pray about this. I need to trust the Lord more in this and that sort of thing. So faith lessons are often repeated. They are tailor-made for us. Yes, there was one major difference. Jesus wasn't with them in the boat. If we go back to Matthew chapter 14, we'll also note here that in this passage, that Jesus doesn't come to the disciples straight away. They left in the evening, well, at least maybe even before the evening, because we see in verse 23 in Matthew 14, it says, "And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the middle of the sea." So by the evening time, they had rowed their ship to the middle of the sea. So they'd been on the waters for some time now. And we see in verse number 25, "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them." So not only was Jesus not in the boat with them, but Jesus took time or left it for a bit of time before he actually came to them to give them that assistance that they needed. And that's the same in our lives as well. Jesus knows how long to leave us in this particular situation. He knows how hot to turn up the oven, as it were, as we go through the fires of trial. Not too cold, not too hot, just right, so that we get the best benefit from it, so that we grow in faith. And that's what Jesus is doing here. In the fourth watch of the night means that there were four periods during the night, the night hours, divided into three-hour sections. So four times three is 12 hours there. And this fourth watch of the night was from a period between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So very early in the morning, between 3 and 6. So they'd been rowing in this stormy weather all night. It just didn't happen in 5 minutes, it was all over. They'd been rowing for quite a while during this stormy weather and went before Jesus came to them. So we can see here that there was a definite similarity in the time before, but there were also some differences because of the way in which Jesus had tailor-made this faith lesson for the disciples at this point in their spiritual growth, in this point of their time as they grew to trust the Lord more. So each faith lesson Christ allows in your life is tailor-made as well. Every single one of them that occurs is tailor-made to your spiritual maturity. So where you are at spiritually with the Lord knows what you need. He knows what I need in my spiritual life as well. And Christ does not try to teach us everything at once. That's impossible. And that would be overwhelming, wouldn't it? If Christ tried to teach us everything at once, it's impossible for us to take that. So the things we go through are allowed, and I pray that we remember this, they're allowed by a gracious and loving Father. That's who's behind all the circumstances in our lives that allows these things to happen in our lives. They're allowed by Him. He is a loving teacher. Jesus is the perfect teacher. He knows exactly what we need. When we're teaching, like when school teachers are teaching children, they can get an idea of where the children are at and what their understanding level is and things like that as they spend time with them over the whole year and that sort of thing. But Jesus is much greater than a school teacher. Jesus is a perfect teacher because He's God, and He knows exactly what's going on in our lives. He knows what's going on in our heart. He knows our response, and He knows what we need. So Jesus is a perfect teacher. He knows exactly what we need. So we need to ask ourselves the question today, what is going on in our lives today that the Lord is taking us through a faith lesson on? What is He taking us through right now? Maybe it's declining health. Maybe we have some health issues, some problems with our health that the Lord has taken us through. And He's using those problems with our physical health to help us to trust Him more, to grow in faith. Maybe it's family issues. We've got some family struggles going on at the moment. Maybe it's work-related issues and the struggles maybe at work with things that are happening there. Maybe we're having to wait for something. We're having to wait for somebody in our lives that's dear to us, and that's a test of our faith. Maybe sometimes this is a particular thing that the Lord takes us through. Sometimes we struggle to fit in. We don't seem to be accepted, or even in our families, or in our community, or in our church, or whatever it might be. We struggle to fit in. We don't know where our place is in life. The Lord might allow these things in our lives so that we would trust Him more and realise that you are created fearfully and wonderfully made, and God has a purpose for your life, and we can trust Him with that purpose in our lives. And maybe they're financial problems. Many of us at different periods in our lives go through financial struggles, and the Lord might use this in our lives to help us to trust Him and realise He is the provider, He is the sustainer, and everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He's able to provide the needs that we have. So whatever it might be, we need to remind ourselves that Christ's timing is always perfect in our lives when we go through a faith lesson, just as it was in the disciples' lives. Straight after this feeding of the 5,000, perfect time to test the disciples' faith and to see what they are they going to trust Jesus during this time as well. And it's the same with us. Jesus has His faith lessons tailor-made. Tailor-made for Peter Sykes and tailor-made for all His children as well, whatever situation and whatever spiritual growth you may be at. So Jesus, notice here in verse 27, not only are they tailor-made, but also related to that is that During the faith lesson, Jesus comes to his disciples at just the right time. At just the right time. In verse number 27, we read there, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Because they were fearful of a spirit that they thought they saw, and they couldn't recognize who it was. So straight away, Jesus identifies himself, and he says it's him. And that brings great comfort and peace to the disciples. And Jesus' words to the disciples are the greatest comfort. And they remove even the greatest fear during the storm. And we must note in verse 27 that the winds are still raging. The waves are still beating. As Jesus says here, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And isn't it reassuring in our lives to know that just at that right time, the Lord speaks to us and the Lord shows us that he is there. It is I. You're going through this struggle at the moment. It's not easy, I know. But hey, I'm here with you. I'm not going to leave you. It's I. And it's reassuring. It brings great comfort and it removes some of that fear and anxiety that we have as we go through the faith lessons of life. So from this point onwards, from verse 28 onwards, it looks like that this faith lesson that Jesus has is really focused on the Apostle Peter, because Peter here becomes the centre of attention in this particular account. If we read verses 28 and 29, we see that. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me come unto thee on the water, and he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." So we see here, first of all, that Peter's faith is demonstrated. He exercised great faith because when Jesus said, come, what did he do? He obeyed. He heard Jesus' words and he obeyed them. He had faith in Christ that it was him and that he obeyed his word. He steps out of the boat in the middle of the sea, steps out of the boat, and here he walks on the water. And we see here that he has faith in Christ. He has faith that he is the king over all creation. For he is God. And he can obey. He can trust the words of Christ. That when he says come, that Jesus isn't going to allow him to sink and things like that. But he can fully trust in the commands and the words of Christ here to do that. So as we move along here, let's look at what is the purpose for us going through faith lessons? What are the purpose of behind the faith lesson? And this is our last point in our message today, because not only do we know that they're necessary, faith lessons, and that they're tailor-made, we need to see now what's the purpose. Why are they necessary, and why are they tailor-made? Well, this is the third point. Faith lessons are designed to draw our attention to Jesus. And this is the most important thing to remember when we go through a faith lesson, is that all faith lessons that we go through in life are designed to draw our attention to Jesus. That's what he wants. That's what he wants in our lives. And that's what he wanted in the disciples' lives as well. He didn't want them to think they're superhuman. He didn't want the Apostle Peter to think that, hey, I'm cool, I can walk on water. No, he wanted them to draw their attention to Jesus. Let's read verse 30 to 33 of Matthew chapter 14. "But when he saw the wind," this is Peter, of course, "when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Faith lessons are designed to draw our attention to Jesus. In every single situation where we go through a faith lesson, that's the purpose really behind it. And we see this demonstrated in four ways. First of all, we see it demonstrated in Peter's failure. In verse number 30, Peter began to sink. He was walking on water at one stage, but he began to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus. What did he take? How do we know he took his eyes off Jesus? Well, we read in verse number 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous. So he was looking at the wind. He was looking at the waves. He was looking at the storm that he was in and not looking and focusing on Jesus, remembering his word to come. And he took his eyes off Jesus. And he focused that on the circumstances around him. He failed to believe the word of Christ come. He failed to believe that at this point in time. So Peter's failure is something that we can relate to. And that's why we need to remember it today, that it's not just, oh, look at the Apostle Peter, he was pretty bad, wasn't he? No, the Apostle Peter is very much like each one of us today. We learn from the Apostle Peter. And we can be like him. We can hear God's word, just like Peter did when he said, come. We can hear God's word. We know of God's clear leading in our lives. We obey by faith, like Peter did. We obey him. And then a short time later, we can often step back. We can give up. We can go through the motions, however you want to put it. We take our eyes off Christ and we fail to reckon on the words of Christ to us in the past. We look only at the circumstances, just like Peter did. We look only at the circumstances that are going on around us and think that this cannot be right. If God has asked me to do this, how come I'm going through that? If God is leading me this way, why are things happening like this? Just like the Apostle Peter did. We take our eyes off Christ. We forget what he has shown us, how he's led us. And instead of looking to Jesus by faith, we look to ourselves. We look to others in our lives, or we look on the circumstances. And if they're not matching up, if they're not making us happy, we begin to sink. We begin to go down. Spiritually, we don't have faith anymore in Christ. We doubt, what he's doing in our lives, and we get upset and all those other things that can happen. So we begin to sink. I'm reminded of a verse in the Old Testament that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And the next part says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Peter was leaning on his own understanding in this occurrence where he began to sink. He thought, whoa, where am I? I'm in this storm. And then he forgot that Christ called him to come. We too may be in a storm. We might be going through a faith lesson. And we're trying to work it out in our own understanding. That's a mistake on our part. We should trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding. And just like the Apostle Peter realized here in this account, we too also need to realize that we're not self-sufficient. We can't rely on ourselves. We need the Lord. We need Jesus. We need to trust in him. And this is what the Lord does in our lives. As he orders those tailor-made faith lessons in our lives, we realize, oh, look what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks through this struggle. I've been trying to get through it by myself. In our own strength, in our own understanding, our own thinking. And when we crash, like Peter did here, we realize that we need the Lord. And this is exactly what happened here. Look in verse 30 at the end there, of verse 30 and into verse 31. We see, secondly, not only Peter's failure helps us draw our attention to Jesus, but we also see that Jesus' mercy is demonstrated here. At the end of verse 30, we see, and was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Jesus' compassion, Jesus' mercy. Jesus didn't let him sink. As soon as Peter called out, Lord, save me, the words here say, and immediately. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Immediately Jesus was ready to take care of the situation. As soon as Peter yelled out for help, Jesus was there. And it's so true in our lives as well. But Jesus is ready to take control if we but allow him to do that. Aren't we glad for the Lord's quick hand of help when we need it, when we ask for it, his mercy and his help. In Psalm 37 verse 24, it reminds us that though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And that's the same if you're a child of God here today, if you've trusted Jesus as your own personal Saviour, you can be assured that Jesus holds you up, that he carries you, that he can help you, and he is quick to come to your rescue, to deliver, to help you. He might not take you out of the trial. During this time, the winds are still going. Here with Peter, the winds are still going. Yes, he was sinking, but Jesus displays his mercy and his outstretched hand of compassion, and he helps, he undertakes, he gives us the grace that we need to be able to bear. In Hebrews chapter 4, it reminds us as well that Jesus wants us to be in a position where we call out to him. Faith lessons are designed to draw our attention to him because we need him. And in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Notice that it's a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, the Lord wants us to come to him. He wants us to call out, just like Peter did in this occasion, "Lord, save me." And that's all we might say. "Lord, save me. I'm in a mess. I need your help in this trial, this situation, this issue that I'm going through. I need your help. Help me." And the Lord's there ready to reach out his hand, to stretch out his hand to help. So as we call out to him, we place ourselves in a position to learn, to be taught by Christ. It's not until we reach out and call out to him that he can teach us the faith lesson that we need to learn, that we're going through. So that's the third thing here we see here, as they're designed to draw our attention to Jesus. But we see that Peter's failure, we learn that we fail and we rely on ourselves too much, so we to look to the Lord. We see that Jesus is compassionate and merciful and wants to help. And then we see here that Jesus is a teacher. Jesus teaches. And we see Jesus teaching in verse number 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him." So that's his rescue, Jesus' help. "And then he said unto him," this is what he's going to teach Peter, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And that's the words of Christ that spoken to Peter. And I'm sure Peter remembered them for the rest of his life, those words that Christ spoke to him. "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And I'm sure the coin would have dropped then, the penny would have dropped in Peter's mind, and he would have realised what he'd just done. He didn't trust God. He didn't trust him. So in verse 31 here, Jesus says, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" The phrase "O thou of little faith" means lacking confidence in Christ. Peter was lacking confidence in Christ. His confidence wasn't in Christ. It must have been in something else. His confidence was probably in himself. And when we put our confidence in ourselves, that's when we begin to sink. His confidence needed to be in Christ, and this is what Jesus was trying to teach him. In this passage, Jesus also uses the word "doubt" here. "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" The word "doubt" means to duplicate, to waver in opinions, and it's used to picture a man who has to make a choice of which way to go, whether it's this way or that way. He doesn't know which way to take. He's doubting. Which way do I go? Do I trust Jesus in this case, or do I trust myself? And this is the position that Peter found himself in. He doubted Jesus and his word, and he trusted in himself. So it implies uncertainty. When we're doubting, we're uncertain in which way to take. Hesitating. When you're driving, these driving lessons, and you come up to a roundabout, and you hesitate, and you know everyone's tooting their horn behind you because you know you're taking too much time to get through the roundabout. You hesitate to get through, and then if you hesitate for too long, you end up making a rash and the wrong decision, and you pull out in front of a car that's coming on your right there. So this is what was happening with the Apostle Peter. He was doubting. He was hesitating. He was hesitating and not having confidence in Jesus Christ, and he began to sink. And this is what Peter did. He at one minute he was having faith in Christ, and then the next minute he was wavering. Why does this happen? Why would it happen that this, you know, one minute we're trusting God and then the next minute we're not? Well, again, we're going to go to another passage and we see that this is, we see a reason why we often, Peter, but we also often doubt and we waver and we hesitate in our decision to trust God. In Mark chapter 6 again, let's go to Mark chapter 6. We see Jesus give the commentary here is already given for us in the Bible of why Peter and the other disciples, because Peter's often used as a representative of all the disciples. We can't always just blame everything on Peter. Jesus is teaching all his disciples here in this account, not just the Apostle Peter. But we see here in Mark chapter 6, verses 51 and 52, a reason why they failed to believe in Christ. They doubted and didn't trust him. Verse 51 says, "And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered." Verse 52, here's the reason. Here's the reason. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." So believe it or not, that day, the day before, they had witnessed the miracle of the feeding of 5,000. They saw that, they were there. And now just a little few hours on, they had forgotten. This is what this verse 52 says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves." That's what considered not means. They had forgotten, they did not remember what had just happened in the past, what Jesus had just done a few hours ago. They had forgotten all about that, for their heart was hardened. And this is the reason why they doubted. An attitude where they did not consider or remember what the Lord had shown them in the past. They failed to trust the Lord. And do we do that? We do. We do that. We fail to trust the Lord. We do the same thing that Peter did here and what the disciples did as well. We harden our hearts to what the Lord's done for us in the past. We forget, that word forget, we forget what God has done for us in the past. And that is why we can go through similar faith lessons over and over again, because we forget. We don't apply what God has shown us in the past to the current situation that we're going through now. If the disciples and the Apostle Peter had just remembered a few hours earlier that Jesus performed that amazing miracle where he, being God in the flesh, was able to feed 5,000 people with a limited amount of food, because he is God with all resources and he's all powerful. If they had remembered that and trusted Christ because of that, they would have been able to not doubt in this situation. And they would have been able to believe the words of Christ. And so, what has Christ done for you in the past? And let's just remember perhaps the faith lesson that Christ has got us going through at the moment. Has Christ taken you through something similar in the past? And has Christ during that time been able to help you in that past time and been able to lead and guide you through the Word of God? Has he given you encouragement to know that he's with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you? That he's been able to provide the help that you've needed in that time in the past? Faith lessons are designed to draw our attention to Jesus, and one of the obvious ways that we draw our attention to Jesus is we worship him. We give worth to him. We give him the honour that's worthy to his name. We glorify him. We sing praises. When God reveals something and teaches us something about how he's with us and able to help us through things during a trial and difficult time, there's a singing in the heart, even though we might still be in that difficult situation. The circumstances might not have changed necessarily, but we've been spoken to by Christ. So the response to this faith lesson was worship. Faith lessons are designed to help us see our weakness and turn to Christ and his resources by faith. As we do that, we glorify God. And people might not say it, but people see it in our lives. People that know us well, that is. You know, people that see us day by day in our lives, they will tell, they will notice and say, you've changed. You know, you have a peace. You're able to cope with this where, you know, I've seen growth here and that sort of thing. And they might not say anything, but they will notice, and that will glorify God. It doesn't pump you up or anything. It glorifies God, because God is the one that's been enabled to give you that peace. He's been able to give you that ability to trust him during the storm or whatever the thing might be that you're going in through. So, and this is how we ought to respond to faith lessons that the Lord designs in our lives. He must increase and I must decrease. That's as we go through things in life, that's every time we must realise that. It's not about me. I've got to decrease. My life is not just about me, it's about him. It's about Jesus. What is he doing in my life? And that's how we worship God. One way we worship God is we give him the glory. We glorify him. So, as we wrap it up now, what about you and I this morning, as we've looked at this subject of faith lessons and how Christ takes us through them, because they're necessary in our lives. We need them. And they're tailor-made for each one of us. What a blessing. Even though, for instance, we might all have a financial issue in our lives, for instance, just to give you an example. But in each one of those financial problems that we have, a shortage of finances, the Lord may minister to us in a unique way if it is needed for us, for an example. So they're all tailor-made. Our faith lessons that we go through are tailor-made for us. And they're designed to draw our attention to Jesus. We need to draw our attention to Jesus. And before we close this message, let's read verse 34, because it's important for us to remember that Jesus sent the disciples away across the sea because they were to go to the other side. And I think we need to remember that they got to the other side. What Jesus said came to pass. And it's important in our lives too, when God leads us and directs us to do something, that he doesn't do that just to play games with us. God is with us and he'll get us to the other side. That other side might be glory when we go to be with the Lord. But he will get us there in whatever storm of life that may be, whatever faith lesson that may be in our lives, he will get us there. Because in verse 34 it says, and when they were gone over, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. So they came over, and in Mark chapter 6 it says that they arrived on the shore. They got onto the other side. And what a blessing to know that God, when he says something, it happens. And all we need to do is trust the Lord. They made it through the storm and they made it to the other side. And that's the same with us as well in our lives as we trust the Lord in these things. So one night, a house caught fire, which is terrible for a house to catch fire. And a young boy was forced to flee to the roof to escape the flames and the heat. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, jump, I'll catch you. He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flame, smoke and blackness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof. His father kept yelling, jump, I'll catch you. But the boy protested, Daddy, I can't see you. The father replied, but I can see you. And that's all that matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for the word. And Lord, how instructive it is for us, Lord, and in particular in this matter of faith lessons. Lord, how you brought your disciples through that faith lesson to help them to trust you, that you are God, and that you are all sufficient. And Lord, help us today too, Lord, and whatever we may go through, whether it's right now or in the future, Lord, that you would help us to trust you and know that you are God and that you are all sufficient. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.